Hello, this is Jeff Buckles of the Two Roads and Two Destinies Ministries. We're looking at Bible characters while we're together. And we're up to the person of Isaac. And we saw the last time we were together how that he had continued the sin of his father Abraham by lying about his wife, saying she was his sister, to keep himself from being killed. We saw also that the God that he served, the true God, had blessed Isaac, and the Philistines had become envious and become jealous, and the king of the Philistines now is running them out of the land. Why? Because they are much mightier than we. Now, we had said that this had happened in the time of Abraham, and we're going to see a lot of parallels here between what happens to Isaac and what happened to Abraham. And in my own opinion, now you can take this for what it's worth, this man Abimelech is somebody to be suspicious of, this king of the Philistines. For even in the days of Abraham, whenever his people, his herdsmen, were fighting with the herdsmen of Abraham and taking their wells away, he was saying, well, I didn't know anything about it. Well, we're going to see the same thing happening here, and it's in the same situation. Well, Abimelech acts like he didn't know anything about it. To me, he's a suspicious character, someone to be watched. Now, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. We pray for your blessings on this message today, that you would teach us something, Lord, that we need to know that we can do, Father, for you, and to be better Christians, Lord, to show forth your glory. And Father, we just pray now that you would open our eyes and our understanding to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we had said that this situation had happened to Abraham, and now it's happening to Isaac. He's gone into this strange land because of a famine. Now God has blessed him, and they ask him to leave. He'd also told a lie about his wife, saying she was his sister. And now let's look at verse 17. Isaac departed from there, pitched his tent at the valley of Gerar, and lived there. Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. You know, when a person has power and when a person has money, people respect them as long as they live, but once they're dead, that's the end of their respect. And that's how these Philistines were with Abraham. They had shown him the respect of not filling the wells while he was alive, perhaps by fear of him, because Abraham had shown himself to be a powerful man. He and his men had went and defeated armies. And, of course, the Philistines knew this. Now, the Philistines now have filled up these wells after Abraham died, and Isaac goes back and he digs them up, and he calls them after the same names that his father had called them. He renames the wells the same thing that they were called before. And his servants now dig in the valley and found a well of springing water. Well, the herdmen of Gerar strove with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him, or strife. Here, the children of, you might say the subjects of Abimelech, begin to strive with Isaac's servants whenever they dig this well and say, this is ours, this water belongs to us. And they he names it Strife. He names the well Strife. Let's go back to Genesis 20. And we see when Abraham was faced by Abimelech, let's look down to chapter 21. Here Abraham has been faced by Abimelech about the situation with his wife. And Abraham now, if you'll look with me in verse 22 of chapter 21, it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me hereby God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor my son, nor my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear, and Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water, which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. Now see, this was not a new problem with Abimelech's people. They had violently taken a well away from Abraham, just as surely as they had strove with the children of Isaac, or the people of Isaac, and taken a well away from them. And Abimelech knows this. You see why I said this is a man to be watched? His people had done the same thing to Abraham, and now that Abraham's dead and gone, his son comes back, and they do the same thing to Isaac. They take away the well of water. Well, Abraham had rebuked them for this, and Abimelech's answer, of course, was, I didn't know who did this. You didn't tell me, and yet I just heard it today. You see that the same reaction Abimelech, we're going to see it here in Isaac when he deals with Isaac. The same kind of reaction Abimelech gave to Abraham, he's going to give the same sort of reaction to Isaac. Now, let's go to verse 21. Now, the children of subjects of Abimelech have taken this well of water. Isaac and his people move, and they dig another well. Well, they come, and they strive for that one also. And he named the name of this one Sitnah. And he removed from there and digged another well. And this well he names Rehoboth, for they strove not for this one. Now, he says, the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from there to Beersheba. Now, this was, of course, the place of Abraham, Beersheba. Now, they're in the promised land here. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. And Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. Now here Abimelech plays out the same scenario again. He comes to Isaac just as he had came to Abraham, and he wants to make peace with him. Of course, he's going to act like nothing had ever happened with these wells of water. He waits till his people have took away all the wells they want, and then he comes to him and says, Isaac asked him the question, why have you come seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, so we certainly saw that the Lord was with you, and we said, let there now be a oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of the Lord. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. You know, there's something suspicious about this, isn't there? Here, the very things that had happened are just like they didn't exist. How many of us have this problem in our life? How many of us are pushed maybe beyond what we thought we could stand as Christians? But you know what Isaac did? He would pack up his tents, and he would move when they would steal a well. And this is what we have to remember. We are strangers and pilgrims in this land. Not to hold on to things too tightly, but to always put it into the hands of him who has blessed us. Well, this has been Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads to Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for being with us today. This is the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. For Mark Beebe and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody. We ask that you would be with us again as we open the Word of God each weekday afternoon from 1 o'clock to 1:15. Have a good day. Two Destiny Radio Ministry. This week, our Brother Jeff is leading us in.
Hello, this is Jeff Buckles of the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministries. We're in Genesis chapter 26, looking at Isaac. And we ended sort of fast the last time we were together on the statement that Abimelech had pushed Isaac's herdsmen, or at least his people had, out of the land. They had taken away the wells of water, which Isaac and his people had dug. They had strove for him, and Isaac had responded by moving on. Now, Abimelech and his people had already said, your people are mightier than we. In other words, they were greater in number. They were stronger, the children of Isaac. But Isaac had chosen to respond to their pressures, to their strivings, not with war, but in a peaceful manner. He picked up and he moved again. Why would this be, we ask ourselves? Why wouldn't he go ahead and attack these people and take this land? Because he was strong enough to do it. He had enough people to do it. But something that we read over and maybe didn't jump out at us real strong, God had been to Isaac twice now, here in just the last little bit. And he had given to Isaac the promise of Abraham, his father, that he would be blessed and his seed was going to be the inheritors of this place. And Isaac was looking at the promise of God and not at the power that Isaac had. You see the big here. Isaac wasn't looking for his answers to this problem. He was looking for God's answer to this problem. And God was supplying his answer to this problem. He would dig another well, and it would be blessed. It would be there. They would find water. Abimelech and his people would come, and they would take that well away, and God would give them another one. Isaac was a man of contentment. Paul has told us in the New Testament, whatsoever things that you have, therewith to be content. He tells us again, we're told in the New Testament that we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. That we are only sojourners here. And that a lot of times we hold on to things too tightly when we should be willing to allow the Lord to deal with situations. He said that the Old Testament saints were examples to us. And here Isaac is giving us a good example. You know, we have mentioned earlier in our messages on Isaac, how that the sin of Abraham had passed down to him, and that he lied about his wife being his sister. And now, the good things that Abraham had taught to Isaac are coming out. The promises of God that were made to Abraham. Isaac is now one who is believing God and his promises, and he is trusting in them, just as Abraham had. You know, as children of God, even with our sins and our shortcomings, we are still the children of God if we have faith in Jesus Christ. And there are some good things that we have that are passed down from generation to generation in the Christian family. And hopefully, inevitably, those bad things will fade away and the good things will remain. Sad to say, a lot of times our evils carry on from child to child. We have to turn this over to the Lord. Well now, they come to Isaac and they say, we see that you have been blessed of the Lord. In verse 29 of chapter 26. And they said, we don't want you to hurt us. We've not hurt you. We've not done anything to you but good. We have sent you away in peace, and now you are blessed of the Lord. Now, we mentioned how similar this is to what had happened to Abraham. Abraham had been sent away by Abimelech. And whenever Abraham reproved him on account of Abimelech's people taking away his well, Abimelech says, I don't know anything about it. And now when Abimelech comes to Isaac, they've taken away two of their wells. He says, we've not done anything to you but good. We've sent you away in peace, and now you are blessed of the Lord. Like he didn't know anything that was going on. Like I said, he's a man to keep your eye on. A distinct difference to be made between the children of God and the children of this world. Now, he made them a feast, and they ate and drank, and they rose up betimes in the morning and swear to one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. So they swear, make a covenant with one another that they won't hurt one another. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning a well that they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water, and he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old, and he took to him to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bathsheba, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now, this seems like a sort of a sideline of a statement, but this statement is going to come out very strongly here shortly, because we're going to look at Isaac and Esau again. And here Esau now has married him some wives of the Hittites, and these women are just causing grief to Isaac and to Rebekah. Nothing but trouble. You can imagine, here are two who have chosen to serve the true and the living God. They're trying to raise their family now to serve God. And their son goes and marries women that don't know anything about God, that have gods of their own, idols, and they're going to cause so much trouble to this family, and they do. It says so. They were nothing but a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. And now we skip ahead in the life of Isaac in chapter 27 and verse 1. And Isaac now is old, and his eyes are dim, and he could not see. And he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, my son. And he said to him, behold, I am here. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I don't know the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray you, your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go get me out of the field some venison. Now Isaac is getting old, and he's wanting Esau to go and kill him a deer and to make him something to eat. He says in verse 4, make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless thee before I die. Now, he says to Esau, go out there, kill a deer, make this savory food that I love, bring it to me so I can eat and I can bless you before I die. He said, I want my last meal, Esau, and I want you to go out there and I want you to kill a deer and I want you to bring it to me, made up like you always do, son, the way I like it, and I'm going to bless you before I die. So now Esau is looking for his blessing. Now remember, Jacob has already stolen his birthright. And now Esau is looking for his blessing, and he goes out into the field to hunt for this deer. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son, and Esau went into the field to hunt for venison to bring it. Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before thy death, my death. Now, Rebekah, you remember, she was the one who loved her son Jacob because he was more of a homebody, he said. And Isaac had loved Esau because he was a man of the field, and he loved to eat this food that Esau went and killed for him. Now, Rebekah overhears the conversation that Isaac has with Esau about his blessing. She's listening in on it. So we see a little bit of where Jacob gets his wheeler dealer, don't we? Where he gets this supplanter kind of a mind. His mama was one who would sneak in and do the same thing, because she comes to Jacob and she says, I heard your daddy speaking to your brother, telling him to bring the venison and the savory meat that he could eat and bless you, bless him before his death. Now, son, obey my voice according to that which I commanded thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from there 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, that he may bless thee before his death. Now, I don't know if you've ever eaten any goat or deer meat, but they're very similar. And a good cook could make them taste just alike. So this is what Rebekah's plan is. Jacob run out there in the field, kill 2 of these young goats, and I'll make up this savory meat that Esau makes up. Her being, of course, surely familiar with the way he does it. And he says, and you bring this to your daddy and he'll eat it, and he can bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah's mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father might feel me, and I will seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall be bringing a curse upon me and not a blessing. So Jacob thinks of something else that could be wrong with his plan, and he says, Mama, you know, I'm a smooth man, and my brother's hairy. And Daddy may not be able to see too good, but he might just try to feel me, and he'll discover I'm a deceiver, and he'll curse me instead of blessing me. Of course, 2 heads working together, his mama says to him in verse 13, unto me be your curse, my son, only obey my voice and go fetch them for me. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which was with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and the smooth of his neck. And she made the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came to his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as you badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou art be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob comes near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him. And said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see the smell of my son, it is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now, we're out of time, but I want you to notice some things here. Isaac has went by touch. He has went by sound. He has went by smell and everything, because his eyesight's bad. He can't see Jacob. And we're going to look into that some more the next time we're together. This is Jeff Buckles with the Two Roads of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff.